Welcome to the podcast of Harvest Baptist Church in Harvest, Alabama. We invite you into our sanctuary as we dive into God's Word with our pastor, Dr. Al Pieringer.
I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Romans 8 today. I'll read verses 26 through 28 here in just a moment. You know, I used to think that I was pretty tech savvy. I mean, I used to know how to set things up. I knew how to run things. I knew how to fix things. There was a time in my life when, at least for, you know, the normal everyday stuff, that people would come to me for help with their technological problems. I didn't know, like programming or anything that deep. But I knew, you know, some things. I remember when I was a young adult and first, you know, kind of moved out and got out on my own. And if my parents would contact me, now if it was my mom who called me, I knew that it was a social call. They just wanted to socialize. But if my dad called me, I knew that it was a technical question, because that's why he would call me. He needed help. How do you run this computer again? Tell me again, how do you set the VCR to record that program? I'm dating myself now. See, a VCR was this video cassette recorder thing that did... I'm trying to explain to the young folks what a VCR is. It was tape, and you had to program it to... How do you set that up again? My dad needed help. Well, guess what? My tech-savvy days are long gone. Now it's my kids who have to start telling me how to do stuff. I'm the one that's, they tell me like how to, hey, you can do this with your phone, huh? You can do this with your phone. What? You can do this with your phone. Here, just take my phone and do it for me. Now I'm the one that needs help. And you know, a few years from now when they're out on their own, I'm going to be the one calling, hey, how do you do this and that and the other thing? I mean, I already need a lot of help in other ways, but everyone needs help. And you know what? We all need help in life. And it's no different in the Christian life. We need help. I mean, obviously, we need help getting saved. I mean, we can't save ourselves. That's why we need Jesus Christ. But we also need help in just the various aspects of Christian life. And this is even true about prayer. I mean, I've been doing this series on prayer, and you know, we approach the throne of grace in order to receive mercy and to get our help in the time of need. We know that from Hebrews 4:16. And so we go to get help, but I mean, we even need help just to pray. I mean, sometimes we can't, it just seems like prayer is so difficult, and that's why God sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. At least twice in the Gospel of John, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the helper. It's not on the screen, but John 15:26, Jesus says, "When the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." I'm sending a helper. In John 16:7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." The Holy Spirit is the Helper, and all believers in Jesus Christ, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That means you are indwelt by the Helper, and this Helper helps us to live by faith, he helps us to pray. He helps us in every aspect of our life, and he helps us in the area of prayer. Because we're given this great privilege of prayer, and yet it seems we have so much difficulty with it. We just wrestle with this thing of prayer. Sometimes we have trouble making time to do it, but sometimes we just have trouble doing it. We find it that it's something that's hard to do, but we have a helper to help us with our prayers. And in the passage that we're looking at today, Paul wrote that the Holy Spirit helps us with our prayers, and he intercedes with us through our prayers. And so as we continue this series on prayer, I want us to see that even when We have a hard time praying, and even when our prayers seem so weak, the Holy Spirit helps us pray, and He joins us in praying to God with our burdens. And so if you just seem to have difficulty praying, you have a helper. You have someone who can help you with your prayer. And so I want to read these three verses, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28, if you'll stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy word. And this is what Paul wrote to the Romans. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Let's pray. Lord, we do need help with prayer, and we are reaching out to You. And we're thankful for the Spirit who lives within us, the Spirit who empowers us. May He empower our prayers. May He lead us, guide us, help us, so that we pray, we can come to the throne of grace and lay our burdens before You. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What do we learn about the Holy Spirit in prayer? What does Paul have to say about the Holy Spirit in prayer? Well, first, he talks about the need for the Holy Spirit's help in prayer. There is a need for the Holy Spirit help in prayer. There was this Desiring God conference back in 2011 where you probably might know Francis Chan. He's written several books. But this is what he said at that conference. He told of the many answers to prayer that he has received. And he said this, he said that those who know the living God, that should be the norm, meaning seeing these many answers to prayer. He said that we should have such frequent answers to prayer that we're actually surprised when the occasional one goes unanswered. Now that sounds wonderfully Christian, that sounds very idealistic, but that does not seem to be the experience of us normal, everyday Christians. I mean, I don't know about you, but we very rarely do we keep a tabulation of, okay, I prayed this, this one was answered, this one was not, this one, we just kind of pour out our what we have for God, we pour out our burdens before God, and maybe sometimes we don't even think about getting the answer. But you know, we us normal everyday Christians, we just struggle with that. We struggle with prayer. And, you know, it might be just a lack of doing it. I mean, it might just be that there might be a problem of just not taking the time to do it or doing it. And at that same conference, there was this other speaker and author, Paul Miller, and he estimated that from surveys that he does prayer conferences and things like that, and he estimates based on surveys that he took at his prayer conferences, that about 90% of evangelicals do not have a meaningful daily prayer life. I mean, obviously it's a struggle. You know, and so we don't pray because we don't take the time. We don't pray because it's hard. We don't pray because we're discouraged. There's a lot of things going on. And so we need help. We need the Holy Spirit's help. So, I mean, why are we this way? Why does prayer come with such difficulty? And Paul mentions two reasons why it comes with such difficulty. The first reason that he mentions is because we are weak. I mean, we are just weak creatures. And, you know, we're weak in our sin. We're weak physically. We're weak spiritually. We're just weak. And it just comes with being human. It comes with being human on this earth. In this chapter, this Romans 8 chapter, Paul is making this this contrast between the life of the Spirit and the life of the flesh. And yes, when you are saved, you are given the Spirit. The Spirit gives you life. I mean, it gives you spiritual life, and eventually you'll have eternal physical life. But, you know, but then if you live in the flesh, it would be like being a believer versus unbeliever. You live in the flesh. It's physical death. It's spiritual death. I mean, the flesh leads to death. The Spirit leads to life. But we're still in this weak state on this earth. We're kind of in an in-between state. And there's a whole lot of waiting going on. I mean, we're saved, but now we're still on this earth. And we still deal with the flesh. And we're waiting for Christ to return. We're waiting to be glorified with him. And during this wait, we just struggle. And we wrestle. And we have these problems. And we fall. And we trip up. And we're just weak. And we're groaning because, you know, we're in this in-between state. We're saved. We have the Spirit. And yet we have the flesh. And we're dealing with that. Paul even says here in Romans 8 that all of creation is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to reach their final state. Because when we reach our final state, guess what? All of creation is going to be changed as well. And so he says creation is groaning under its futility, waiting for the sons and daughters of God to become who they are supposed to be. And he says we're groaning. Because we're kind of stuck here. We have the Spirit power within us. And yet we're weak in our sinful flesh that we still have to live in. I mean, we still have to deal with sin. We're saved. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We still deal with the flesh and sin. And so there's this tension that we're living in. And this tension sometimes draws us away from what we ought to do, say, in prayer, but it makes us weak. I mean, it makes us weak in a couple of ways. One way that we're kind of weak is that, you know, we're spiritually weak and we're dense. And we're so weak, we don't realize how weak we are. We're spiritually weak and we actually think we can do things on our own. Well, I don't need the Spirit and I don't need to pray because I got things under control. Life is going pretty good. All is well. So, you know, I don't really need to pray. I don't really, you know, I don't need the Spirit or anything like that. Well, guess what? You need the Spirit to remind you how weak you are. You need the Spirit to remind you how needful prayer is. No, you don't have it all under control. You need to go before the throne of grace. And sometimes we're weak also in that, you know, life can just get overwhelming. And it seems like we just don't have the strength to do anything. And so the Spirit lifts us up. The Spirit encourages us. Come on, come to the throne of grace. Get your fill of mercy. Get your fill of grace. Get the help that is needed in its time. Get timely help at the throne of grace. And so the Spirit, It encourages us. Look, you are weak, but God is strong. Remember, you have the helper within you. The helper will lead you to the throne of grace where the Father is waiting for you. Christ the Son made it possible for us to come to this throne of grace. And we can find strength there. We can find our needed help there. We can find mercy there. We can find everything we need there. But sometimes we're weak, and so we struggle with prayer because of that weakness. But another reason that Paul says that we struggle with this prayer thing and we need the Holy Spirit is because we don't know what to pray. We don't know what to pray. Paul says here in these verses, we do not know what to pray for as we ought. And so sometimes we don't pray rightly. Sometimes we have wrong motivations. Sometimes we're at a loss at what to pray for. Sometimes, you know, we're praying for one thing, but God's wanted to head in another direction. And so there's a lot of reasons why we just don't seem to pray rightly, or we don't know what to pray. I mean, many times when I'm praying for someone, and they're going through something, and I know they need something, I just don't know what in the world they need. I mean, I don't have all the answers. Someone's struggling through something, I'm like, how in the world do I pray for that person? I don't know what to pray. Lord, you know what they need, give it to them. You know, sometimes that's just kind of what my prayer ends up being. Well, thankfully, you know, the Spirit is able to sort all that out. But, you know, sometimes we're praying in one direction. God's sending us in a different direction. I think of Paul, what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, Paul is talking about he was caught up into paradise. He heard these inexpressible words that he wasn't able to speak or record. And so to keep Paul from exalting himself, God gave him this thorn in the flesh. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh is. It's just a thorn in the flesh. And it says that Paul implored the Lord three times to take away that affliction. But God didn't. Because instead, Paul, through that, got a lesson about God. Because he learned that God's grace is sufficient, God's power is perfected in human weakness. And so Paul was praying, but he really didn't know what to pray for. So you could say he prayed wrongly. He was headed in the wrong direction. But you know what? The wonderful thing is the Spirit intercedes anyway. The Spirit sorts it out. You know how many times it says here in our passage, the Spirit intercedes, the Spirit intercedes. I think of another example. You've probably heard of the church father, Augustine, or Augustine, however you want to pronounce it. And, you know, I mean, obviously he wrote some great works, The City of God, his Confessions, and works on the Trinity, and things like that. But he was not always the pillar of Christian virtue. In fact, in his younger days, he was a hedonistic pagan. He lived for the world. He lived for pleasure. He did his own thing. But he had a mother who prayed for him always. Well, there came a time in his life where Augustine was going to travel to Italy to do his thing. They lived in North Africa. He was going to travel from there to Italy. And his mother, Monica, she went to this seaside chapel along the coast, and she pleaded all night with God to keep her son from going to Italy. Because she said, Lord, I want him to know you. I want him to be a Christian. And she couldn't endure the thought of him going to Italy. Because Italy, during those days, a lot of licentiousness, trying to think of a decent term to use. It was kind of the red light district of Europe, or I don't know how you want to put it. There was just a lot of temptations there in Italy. And she couldn't think of, no, I want my son to become a Christian. I don't want him to go to Italy and just even give in more to his hedonistic ways. And even as he got on the boat and the ship, it went toward Italy, it set sail, Monica still prayed, Lord, please don't let him go. But the ship went on and sailed to Italy. So, I mean, had God ignored her? I mean, what was going on there? No, he didn't ignore her. Because while in Italy, Augustine heard the great preacher Ambrose, and he was converted and came to Christ. He came to Christ in the very spot his mom didn't want him to go to. And so I find it interesting. God, she wanted him to be a Christian, and she didn't want him to go to Italy because she thought that the two things were fighting against one another. But God answered the primary prayer by not answering the secondary prayer. You know, because Monica prayed like she did because she didn't know. She didn't know what to pray. And thankfully, the Holy Spirit knows this weakness of ours. We think we're going to head in one direction, but the Holy Spirit knows, well, no, the Father has a different direction. I'll intercede on your behalf. And so we need the Holy Spirit. We need this helper who's within us because we are weak. We are frail human beings. We don't even know what to pray, how to pray, but the Holy Spirit gives us help. Well, how does the Holy Spirit give us help? Well, that leads to the second major point that I want to make today. I want us to look at the work of the Holy Spirit in prayer. I mean, you know, thankfully, Paul tells us the Holy Spirit intercedes, the Holy Spirit helps, he works on our behalf, he gives us help in this area of prayer. But what are some of the ways that he gives us that help? Well, one of the ways, the first way that he mentions is that the Holy Spirit prays for us when we can't. The Holy Spirit prays for us when we just can't seem to do it, get to it, get it out. You know, because Paul tells us here that the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, or maybe some translations say inexpressible groanings or groans that cannot be expressed, something to that effect. And I know there's some debate, well, is it the groaning of the person? Is it the groaning of the Spirit? But it's speaking of the groanings of the Spirit. You know, this is kind of a thing here in chapter 8 for Paul, because he talks about creation groaning, he talks about Christians groaning, and now he's talking about the Holy Spirit groaning. But it's talking about the Holy Spirit expressing to God the Father prayers in a way that might be inexpressible for humans, but it's not inexpressible for God. God the Father knows what the Holy Spirit's talking about, because they're talking. We may not even be able to form words, but the Holy Spirit is groaning on our behalf. As one pastor put it, Paul pictures the Holy Spirit groaning on our behalf to convey that he takes up our needs at the deepest emotional level and conveys our hurts and cares to the Father's throne. You know, sometimes we can't form words. We're just so emotional. There's this burden that's on our heart, and I can't even just get it out. Well, the Holy Spirit expresses that in a prayer that human words can't utter, but in a way that the Godhead is able to express and comprehend. We're groaning, and so the Holy Spirit groans on our behalf. He intercedes for us. As C.H. Dodd said, the divine one that's within us is appealing and interceding to the divine one that's above us. Because he's our advocate. That's another way that the Holy Spirit is described in Scripture. He's our advocate. The word advocate, it's kind of like a defense attorney. It means to take up someone's cause. It means to come to one's defense, to state our case. I mean, we're weak. We don't know what to pray. We don't know how to pray. Well, the Holy Spirit takes up our case. He prays in ways that are even too deep for us to comprehend. But God knows. Paul says that the one who searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. The one who searches the hearts, God the Father, knows and understands the groanings of the Holy Spirit. And he's going to answer them according to his will and wisdom. And so we're struggling. We got this burden on us, and we can't even form words. We can't even complete sentences. And the Holy Spirit takes up our groaning with the groanings of his own. Groanings that are deep. Groanings that are profound. Groanings that are just needed. He knows exactly what we need, and he's groaning on our behalf before the Father. As one author stated it, the Spirit comes to the aid of believers baffled by the perplexity of prayer and takes their concerns to God with an intensity far greater than we could ever imagine. Our groans become his, and he intercedes on our behalf. And so we may not even know how to pray. We can't even get the words out, but thankfully the Holy Spirit's still working. Our helper is helping us by praying for us before God the Father. But another way that the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer is, secondly, he guides prayers according to God's will. He guides prayers according to God's will. Paul says that the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And that is so important, because we have our will, we have our way of doing things, God has his will, he has his way of doing things. Guess who's going to win out on that one? And so we have to be careful with that. You know, we're warned by James in his epistle in James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, that you do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You know, it doesn't just mean like, you know, what we think of the word passion, your desires. Your you know, just the things that you want. I want what I want, and I want it now. I want it all, I want it now. Things like that. Now, you know, it's not necessarily just limited to that selfishness in prayer. But, you know, we pray according to our will. Lord, I want this. And we pray according to, again, our limited knowledge. Again, we don't know how to pray, what to pray for. And we pray according to our wisdom. I think I know what's best for me. And so that's how I'm going to pray. And so, Lord, I want you to do this. And what Paul says is, well, no, the Holy Spirit will direct you to pray according to God's will. Or, you know, pray knowing that ultimately God's will is what's going to happen. And we're the ones that need to get on board with that. Again, James says in James 4:15, and you ought to say this, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and that. And now, that's not some sort of fatalism. Like, I'm going to pray, but if I don't get what I want or it doesn't happen the way I want it, que sera, sera, whatever will be. And it's not a fatalism like that. It is a just giving over to the Father that, you know what, I recognize that your will is best. You have infinite wisdom. You have infinite power. You have a purpose and you have a plan. And I want to get in line with that. Instead of just constantly kind of butting up against him and, God, I want this, I want this, I want this, and I'm going to keep, we are to persevere in prayer. But we also have to remember we want to be in God's will. Even Christ himself said, not my will, but your will be done, Father. And now we are given this promise by the Apostle John in 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And so how does the Holy Spirit guide our prayers toward his will? Well, first, the Holy Spirit can take our prayers and then kind of reform our prayers to get them in the right direction. He can take our misdirected prayers and he still intercedes for us according to what the Father wants. Because what the Father wants and what the Father wills and the Father's purpose, that's ultimately what we need. You know, we think that what we want is what we need. Well, no, what we need is what God says we need. What we need is according to his will and purpose and wisdom. And so our prayers, even though they may be, have good motivations behind them, if they're not, we're praying this one direction, the Holy Spirit will intercede and say, this is according to the will of the Father. I again think of Augustine's mom, Monica. She wanted her son to be saved. And she didn't want him to go to Italy because she thought that the two of them were at odds with one another. But God's will was that he go to Italy in order to get saved. And so that's kind of the way the Holy Spirit prayed. The Holy Spirit took her prayers and, funneled them, took the misdirected prayers and, ultimately interceded on her behalf. And so, a lot of times we might get frustrated thinking that, well, God's not answering my prayer. Well, the thing is, he might be answering your prayer according to his will and wisdom, but not yours, if that makes sense. You think that the only way to get this prayer answered is this way. But God the Father says, no. The way to answer your prayer is this way. And so we have to be ready for that. It's going to be done according to his will, according to his purpose. But another thing that we have to think about when the Holy Spirit helps us get in the will of God is that the Holy Spirit will speak with our spirit and will direct us to pray according to God's will. I mean, if we're humble enough to kind of join Christ's prayer saying, not my will, but your will be done, and the Spirit can help lead us in that direction. Okay, let's follow this. This is God's will. Let's pray this way. Let's pray this way. Because we often do a whole lot of talking during prayer, but we don't do a whole lot of listening during prayer. We come to prayer like, I'm going to get my will done if I have to beat down the throne. This is what I want done. This is what I want done. Instead of thinking, okay, Spirit, use your word, speak to me. What's the right direction to pray here? How can I be humble and open to what God has for me? instead of thinking, you know, I know best and I'm going to get done. And so the Holy Spirit, through that still, quiet voice, will direct our prayers in the way that is needed. This is the way to walk. This is the way. Walk in this way. This is the way. This is the direction. This is the way you go with your prayers. This is the way we're going with this. And so we listen as much as we speak and allow the Holy Spirit to guide and point the direction of our prayers. But there's something I want to bring up. And that's the fact that the Holy Spirit will never work or help or intercede in a way that contradicts Scripture. Because God's will is never going to contradict Scripture. You know, we can't go to God and say, well, you know what, I know the Bible says this, but you can make an exception for me, can't you? Well, no, that's not the way it works. And the Spirit will not direct our prayers that way, will not reform and intercede in our prayers in that direction. The Trinity works together. They have their standard, they have their character, they have their nature. And it is revealed to us through Scripture. And they cannot deny themselves. And so they will never contradict Scripture. We can't pray in that direction. You know, Lord, I know your word says, but come on. I want to go in this direction anyway. Well, the Holy Spirit's not going to help you with that. The Holy Spirit's not going to help you pray for that. And, you know, sometimes there's things that are pretty clear in Scripture. You don't even have to pray about it. You know, I really feel like I want to murder this person. You know, I think I want to pray about it. Well, you know, you don't have to really pray about it. Scripture's pretty clear about murder. Yeah. You know, I really think I want to steal this thing. I'm going to pray about it if I should. Well, no. I mean, Scripture's pretty clear about stealing. You don't do that. But now where Scripture maybe isn't so clear, the Spirit will apply the appropriate verses and passages and principles from Scripture and is going to lead us in that direction. And so the Holy Spirit helps us with our prayers by directing it according to the will of God. And then third and finally, He helps us because He gives faith to continue in prayer. He gives faith to continue in prayer. You know, verse 28, we like to isolate verse 28 and use it on our own, but it's interesting that the verses about the Holy Spirit's help in praying leads to this verse. Verse 28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. So the Holy Spirit helps us with our prayers, and we can have faith that His intercession to the Father on our behalf is going to lead ultimately to our good. Not that, you know, because it says everything will work together for good. That's where our prayers will be led, the Spirit-helped prayers. It's ultimately for our good. Not everything that happens to us is our good, but our prayers ultimately point to what is good. And so what peace it ought to give us that the Spirit helps with our prayers and God is going to work toward our good. Through our answered prayers. He's going to work for our ultimate good. And so that means He's going to, well, there's nothing better for us than the promises of Scripture. I mean, that's our ultimate good. The promises of Scripture are you're going to become more like Christ. Christ suffered. Sometimes that includes suffering, man. You know, all these promises of Scripture, the Spirit will direct our prayers according to Scripture. And remind us that, you know what, here's these promises. These are for you, as long as you're taking it within its context. And it's going to be ultimately for your good. And so let's direct your prayers that way. And we can pray with fervency, and we can pray with perseverance, knowing that our Spirit-helped prayers are moving us and moving the heart of the Father, working to the fulfillment of the promises, working toward our good. We can be encouraged that, yes, the Spirit's going to help us pray in a way that will lead to our good or for somebody else's good. Sometimes when we pray and intercede on somebody else's behalf, The Spirit will lead us to pray and remember the promises of God. We have a family member who's a believer but is kind of struggling with faith and you know, waffling between faith and unbelief. Well, the Holy Spirit reminds us to just cling to the promise and pray in the way of Philippians 1:6 that, you know what, Christ, who has done a good work within us, is going to finish it on the day of his coming. You know, a friend is going through a rough time, and with the Spirit's help, we can pray that the Lord would be a refuge to them in a time of trouble because he cares for those who trust in them, according to Nahum 1:7. And so we know it's for our good, and the Spirit, our Spirit-held prayers will lead that way. We pray, we believe, God's going to work everything toward our good. And so we're encouraged. You know what? The Spirit's going to help me pray toward things that are for my good. The Spirit is going to help me pray toward things that are for my ultimate good. I may not think things are good right now, but ultimately, it leads to my good. All things work together for good. For those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Those who are called according to his purpose are believers. And so we need the Holy Spirit in our prayers. We need his help for our prayers. I mean, so often we Baptists, we're so afraid to talk about the Holy Spirit. Someone might think we're charismatic or something. And yet, you know what? Without the Holy Spirit, we're not going to pray rightly. Without the Holy Spirit, we're not going to do anything rightly. But specifically today, we're not going to pray rightly. And so we allow the Holy Spirit within us to help us in our weakness and to guide us so that we pray according to his will. And so maybe, Christian, today you want to come to the altar, lift up a burden with the help of the Holy Spirit. Come to the altar and pray. Maybe all you can't even form words. All you can do is groan. Well, the Holy Spirit will take your groanings and do a groaning of his own that the Father understands. The Holy Spirit's going to help you out. Now, maybe you've been praying for something, but you haven't given it to the will of God. Lord, no one's ever going to actually say this, but honestly, in the back of our minds, this is what happens. Lord, I want this to happen. Frankly, I don't care what your will is. I want this to happen. Well, instead, join him in his will. Let the Holy Spirit point you to, you know what? I want what God wants. Holy Spirit, help me direct my prayers for that. And so, maybe you want to come to the altar and say, your will be done. Just on earth, just like it is in heaven. Your will be done in my life, just as it's done in heaven. Help direct my prayers that way. But you know what? There's some here today who don't have the Holy Spirit to help them with their prayers because they've never trusted in Christ. You cannot have the Spirit without first trusting in Christ. And so I'll be down here during the last song, during the invitation song, and say, you just say, Al, I want to trust in Christ. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you. The Holy Spirit empowers you. And you're able to pray as you ought. And so believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of Harvest Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at harvest-baptist.org or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. You can also find info on our children's ministry on Facebook at Harvest Baptist Children's Ministry or on Instagram at kidsquest_HBC. Our student ministry is on Facebook at HBC Vertical Student Ministry and on Instagram at VSM_HBC. We welcome you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10. We are located at 8999 Wall Triana Highway in Harvest, Alabama. Thanks for listening, and God bless.